All right, for the purpose of the recording, I think we're on. My name is Barry Adams, and this is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast, and it is Wednesday, February the 13th, 2019. And today I am continuing my a topic I started last week, and that was on what I call the entry level to the kingdom, the kingdom's entry level. And just as a bit of a recap to what I shared last week, I basically, a few weeks ago when I was really reflecting on 20 years of what I've been doing and just you know, sometimes you do an inventory of how, where you fit in the kingdom and what my message is and who is it to, and it was all very good. And I just felt like the Lord had encouraged me. And he said, Barry, you have an entry level king, an entry level ministry. And for those who were here last week, you heard me say that. And of course, when we think of entry level, we can think of something that is junior or inferior. Like you have an entry level job, you're actually kind of on the bottom rung of the corporate ladder. And but when the Lord started to really encourage me about that I have an entry-level ministry of the Father's love, he started to really show me what that actually means. And just the idea that the Jesus said that, you know, our entry into the kingdom, right, and, is actually by changing and having a childlike heart. And, of course, we come into the kingdom by being born into the kingdom, born again, and we, you know, God becomes our Father. But Jesus was very clear in this when he said that that our entry into the kingdom comes by becoming little again and, you know, changing and becoming like little children. And that was Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 5, and Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. So today, I just want to talk a little bit. This is part two. Last year, I created a comic book called 70 Kingdom Principles That Work for Little Kids. And, you know, I didn't say this last week, but when I was thinking about it, the reason why I think partly I have created two comic books. And you know, a lot of times when people see these comic books, they say, "Oh, that would be great for my grandchild," and I'm sure it would be great for grandkids or young kids. But for me, I was very intentional about creating these comic books, but they're for adults. And the reason why I created them, it was really intentional because I wanted to help adults kind of, you know, in a way, gently guide adults to try to revisit their life as when they were little kids and see the kingdom through a different perspective, not the adult perspective, not the grown-up perspective, not the, you know, deep theological perspective, but as a simplistic, fun, joy-filled, childlike heart. So I thought the best way that I could talk about some of the most amazing kingdom attributes would be to actually try to express them through cartoons. And of course, in this particular Kingdom Principles book, I have this lion character, which would of course represent Jesus, the Lion of Judah, right throughout the book. And so my prayer is that God would give all of us the ability to see the kingdom in a different way, not through an adult mindset, but through that childlike, simplistic mindset. And one of the things I was encouraged about after the fact, you understand, some of the struggles that I've had is just trying to measure my life, you know, based on other people who have influenced me. I admire them. I honor them. They've really laid a, you know, incredible foundation in my own life. But where you try to measure yourself and say, well, how do I fit in toward, you know, with a father heart message that is it's not any more respectable, but you know, because I just see this world that the way that the life really makes sense for me is with just childlike simplicity, childlike wonder, childlike joy, childlike freedom, childlike dependence, and on and on and on. And so, you know, I've had to be able to adjust a little bit to be secure in how God wants me to champion this revelation. And of course, we all have our place to play in this incredible adventure. So last week I talked about principles number 1 to 24 in this book, comic book, and I'm just going page by page, and I won't necessarily spend a lot of time on any of the particular attributes, but I really think that any one of the attributes in this comic book that I created, if we actually got a hold of it, it would absolutely rock our world. Like, if we were able to embrace childlike rest in our lives, and that one attribute would become kind of a foundational piece of our life, could you imagine how life could change if we could sleep through storms and sleep when we're tired and not have all the worries of the world keep us awake at night and stressed out, maxed out, burned out, all those things? And so I think that every one of these, the 70 kingdom principles in this comic book, have the potential to actually rock our world if we're able to actually, the Holy Spirit would just breathe on any of them. So I'm going to just continue, if that's okay. And one of the things I was going to say, that which encouraged me, and again, this is kind of going back a bit, but after I created these comic books, and I'm going like, Lord, what is the deal here? You know, is this really make sense? And I remember doing a little bit of research, and I discovered that in the Great Reformation, you know, Martin Luther in the timing of the printing press and all the things that were connected with that incredible transformation of Christianity, a lot of the general population was illiterate. And so I didn't realize this, but Martin Luther and those who were around him, when they wanted to actually get their message en masse throughout the countryside or whatever, they were dealing with illiterate people, that the best way they could actually do it was to create cartoons. So they would draw things, you know, pictures of the Pope. Some of them weren't the most complimentary of the Pope or anything, but there were these illustrations that they would actually go and they would print and they would hand out because the everyday person couldn't read. So when I read that, I thought, well, you know what, maybe, you know, this idea of, you know, using kind of this unusual expression through comic books isn't, you know, maybe nothing's new under the sun. So I want to talk about where I left off last week. Now this is kind of not, let me just see here. And that is on this incredible ability to just to see the kingdom through childlike wonder. And so principle number 25 is where I stopped at principle number 24. So principle number 25, I just want to start again, and that's little kids have this incredible ability to forgive quickly. And, you know, one of the problems with adults is that when we get hurt, oftentimes we have a hard time with grudges, right? We get wounded and we can't let go of those things. And anybody who's gone through an A school in the Father Heart Ministries, you know that there's so much freedom that comes to us when we are able to forgive, to be able to cancel the debt. And even though the ones that we forgive get, you know, a measure of freedom because we free them from anything they owe us, but we get free as well. And kids have this amazing ability that, you know, if you ever watch, you know, 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds together playing, and sometimes they'll just get into this big rip-roaring fight, and they'll have this, you know, people are crying, and there's all kinds of drama, and then within 5 minutes from that, they're back playing with each other again. Could you imagine if you had either a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild just, you know, come to you and they're 3 years of age, and they just say, well, you know what, I've got an issue with you. You know, 2 weeks Saturday, you did this to me, and I can't forgive you. See, little kids don't have the capacity to hold on to grudges. And Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. And so, does that sound like a pretty good attribute? You know, kids have this beautiful, tender heart. You know, it's, I think what happens is oftentimes God created us that way, but because of the pummeling of the orphan world system, you know, we get hurt and hurt and hurt, and then we start, you know, building up these grudges, and it makes it really difficult for us to forgive. And little kids, you know, I think we can learn from that as well. Principle number 26 is little kids laugh a lot. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart makes good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And, you know, one of the things that I learned, and I can't quote it, but it was on a news clip that I watched, that they did a study where they compared children and the amount of, you know, laughter that they have to adults. And in the study, they discovered that children laugh five times more in any given day than any adult would. So I don't know about you, but I really believe that one of the expressions of the joy of the Lord that is in us, which is a manifestation in our emotions, is laughter. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think that's not a bad thing, that God would want to be able to cause us in that journey that we have to change and become like little children again, that we would just revisit the simplicity and the glory of just being little boys and little girls with a big dad and being able to laugh. And as Proverbs says, it makes good medicine. And of course, there's all kinds of statistics that speak about how 70 to 80% of all of our ailments, all of our physical problems are stress-induced. So you can't be stressed while you're laughing, right? So I don't know about you, but I am all for laughing more. Principle number 27, little kids imitate their parents. Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. And I think one of the things that I just remember with our own kids is that when our kids were young, and I specifically remember my son, he would look at me and say, if I was out in our garage or whatever, just doing some work, he would just go and he would try to imitate me. He would pick up a wrench or whatever. Or when I was on computer, you know, I can remember we would get him a keyboard and he'd be beside me, and he has no idea what he's doing, but he just wanted to imitate me. And I believe the more that you and I are able to just embrace the simplicity of a childlike wonder, childlike awe, childlike admiration of knowing God as our Father, that we will imitate him as dearly loved children, and that we will begin to be a manifestation of his nature on planet Earth. It doesn't sound like it's rocket science, but I don't think it is. I think it's the most simple, childlike, innocent thing is when we can be, the more we are like Jesus, who was the exact representation of the Father, the more we are like the Father. And so I'm all for that as well. Principle number 28 is little kids know they belong. In Ephesians 1:3-4, Paul writes these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without defect before him in love. Jack Winter used to say that, you know, when Jeremiah says, I have, quoting God, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jack Winter used to say, there's never been a time in all of eternity when you were not loved. And recently I read an article about attachment between babies and their mothers. And I found it interesting that in the first 6 months of a baby's life, they do not see themselves as separate from their mother. In their own ability to understand life, they just see themselves joined with their mother. There is no separation. Now, when you think about our union with Jesus, and Jesus says, I and them, Father, and you and me, You see, and then when we understand that the love that the Father has had for us is predates creation, it's always existed. You see, so many of us, a lot of the struggles that we have in our everyday lives are really just rooted in disappointment and rejection and feeling like we have not been loved, you know, for our lifetime. Could you imagine if God could restore by the power of His Spirit the truth of the gospel, the truth of the love of God, where that the Father loved us, He chose us before He even created the world, He carried us in His heart, He's always loved us, and that if we were to return to that childlike simplicity, that childlike attachment, that where a baby is not separate, they don't see themselves as separate from their mother for that first 6 months. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds pretty good. That we belong. You see, one of the cries of the human heart is that we belong to somebody. And when the Father spoke over the words of Jesus and He says, "This is my beloved Son," in those words, that means that Jesus belonged to the Father. And not in a belonging way of property, but a belonging way of that I am a part of something bigger than myself. And you see, little kids just intuitively know they belong. What they learn, unfortunately, as they grow up and, you know, in just the brokenness of parental love and all those things, is that we start to feel that we don't belong. But the origin of the human heart is that you and I belong. Principle number 29 is little kids aren't afraid to ask. In Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says to the people listening, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" You see, when little kids, they really live their life on a foundation that they are needy, they are helpless, they are weak, they need to receive, right? So they have no problem asking for things. And sometimes it can drive us crazy. But the truth of the matter is that the more that you and I know that God is a Father and that He actually likes it when we ask. You see, oftentimes when we were kids, we felt maybe our parents made us feel ashamed for asking. And that has just created this awkwardness where when we come to God, we just don't feel really safe to ask for anything. But Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open." Because He said, you know, if you're a good dad, or you do, you know, being evil, you know, when He says this in Matthew 7:11, he's just being, like, you're human, you're broken. But even if your child comes to you and he asks for a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? Of course you're not. And if you're that broken, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask? You know, every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So my prayer for each and every one of us is that we would be able to actually come into a place where we realize that God is our true Father. He likes it when we ask, and that when we ask Him, we are acknowledging that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our own resolve or our own discipline or our own power. It comes from Him. And so the more that we see life comes from Him, everything that we have is a gift from Him, the more that we won't have a problem just simply asking. Little kids express love easily. 1 John 3:18 says, and this is promise number 30, "My little children, let's not love in word only or with tongue only, but in deed and truth." See, God loves it when you love others like He loves you, right? That's what Jesus said to His disciples in John 15. "Love one another as I have loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." You see, the love that the Father loved Jesus with is the love that He loves us with. And that is the love that we are to love others with. And little kids, the earlier the child in the safer, in the most secure environment, they have no problem receiving love, expressing love, giving love. They don't have all of the baggage. It's not that we didn't know how to live in love. It was like when we grew up, we learned how not to live in love. And that's where I believe one of the reasons why the Father wants us just to come back to that simplicity of a childlike heart. Principle number 31, little kids are accepting. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, accept one another, even as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God. You see, little kids don't judge others like grown-ups do. They just accept people the way they are. Even to the point that oftentimes little kids don't even see the differences, you know, in whether it's our skin color, our ethnicities or whatever. Little kids just have this beautiful ability to accept people. And they haven't formed this shrewd judgment mechanism that so many of us struggle with, where we judge on appearance. And I don't know about you, but I really believe that we are to accept others, as it says in Romans 15:7, even as Christ has accepted us. How has Jesus accepted you and me? He has accepted us with his whole heart. He loves us with his whole heart because the Father loves us. And the more that we can just return to the simplicity of a childlike heart that says, yeah, just to be accepting and not have this filter system of judgment, tree of knowledge and good and evil that we're constantly battling with. This is one that I don't think I've heard too many people talk about, but I think it's pretty, pretty significant. Principle number 32, little kids have their own angels. Where else do you read in the Bible where Jesus is talking about the importance of little kids? And he says in verse 10 of Matthew 18, see that you don't despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Always. Their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. You see, that's what gives this incredible standing that little kids have with the Father, because they are well represented in heaven by their own personal angels. I don't know how it works when we grow up. I kind of think we still have them, but we're just not aware of that inside is that little boy or little girl who has that angel who is always seeing the face of her Father. So my question is, if little children, and we're talking babies, right? Toddlers, infants, if they have their own angels that are always seeing the face of the Father in heaven, how important are they to God? I'll just leave you, let that one sit for a bit. Little kids, principle number 33, little kids are humble. Matthew 18:4 said, whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You see, little kids are naturally humble. They carry in their being a beautiful humility. They don't think too much of themselves. They don't think too less of themselves. They are who they are. And it's this beautiful humility that attracts God. We read in James that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when Jesus said in Matthew 18, he says, unless you change and humble yourself, right? There is a humbling that goes with embracing a childlike heart, because when you understand that little kids aren't the power players in the world system that we're in. So for us to really embrace the kingdom, God's kingdom, the Father's kingdom, Jesus is the king in that kingdom, for us to really embrace the glory of that kingdom, we need to change. We need to humble ourselves. We need to turn, go in the opposite direction and become like little kids again, because the little kids are the greatest in the kingdom. And there's something about their beautiful humility that God the Father finds absolutely outstanding. So I don't know about you, but I think there's something there for us to be able to see the benefit in. Principle number 34, little kids are authentic and they're true to themselves. Galatians 1:10 says, and this is Paul writing, he says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? For if I'm still pleasing men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You see, little kids aren't impressed with titles. They're not impressed with power. They're not impressed with any kind of riches or clothing or anything else. When they see people, they see through a different lens than we do when we're growing up. And they're real. Little kids are real. They're not phony in any way. And you know, I know for me, and I've shared it on the webcast before, that you know, I come from a long line of people pleasers. You know, my grandmother was a people pleaser, my mother is a people pleaser, she raised two sons to be people pleasers, and being a people pleaser is something that is absolutely keeps us in bondage. It sounds like it's a lovely Christian ideology, but it isn't freeing. It keeps us in a place where our self-worth and our identity is based on how people see us. And so for us to secure the insecurity in our own being, we try to please others so they can reinforce the insecurities in ourselves that we're okay, we're loved, we're valued, because we are performing a service for them, we're pleasing them. But little kids don't even have that grid. They are who they are. You know, if you're, I don't know if you've ever been in a checkout line at a grocery store and see a little baby over their mother's shoulder, and they're looking in your eyes, right? And they're just this beautiful innocence. And if they like what they see, they smile. And if they don't like what they see, they cry. They're not worried in the least about offending you. They're not trying to offend you, but they're just real. And I think God wants to, I don't know about you, but for me, it's you know, God wants us to return to this place of beautiful transparency and you know, genuine living our lives. Principle number 35, little kids like to be silly. You know, I've shared this on the webcast many times. You know, I have gotten into the craziest, embarrassing stories. I stopped counting when I got over 50. I had to categorize my embarrassing moments, you know, whether they're falling downstairs, falling upstairs, you know, being knocked out with a golf ball, you know, running headfirst and getting knocked out into a concrete wall. I've had all kinds of crazy things that have happened to me. But over the years, when I've just experienced, you know, the Father loving me and causing me to become just, you know, like just not, you know, just get rid of all that crazy pretense and just be real, right? Just be yourself. And, you know, the only thing that I can make sense of my own crazy life and all of the wacky things that happened to me is that 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame those who are wise." See, little kids can be as silly as they like, and they are loved by God for who they are. And my encouragement to you, you can be as silly as you like. You can be as, see, God's chosen the weak things of the world. He chose the foolish things. He chose the poor things. And you know what that means? That means you and I qualify. And I just believe that there's this glorious freedom that can come. And I don't mean to be foolish for foolish sake, but when, you know, when we're just ourselves and we, you know, we lose all the guardedness and all of the awareness of people's judgments, and we can just take a breath and just relax. I just believe that God can do more through us by accident than we could ever do on purpose when we know we're loved, we're safe in his love, and we can just kind of settle into just being his kids. This is another one that, like the, you know, the scripture I talked about, or the principle about little kids having their own angels. Little kids get to meet God on their birthday. And King David wrote in Psalm 71, verse 6, he says, "From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." Think about that for a moment. The moment, the day of your birth, according to the scriptures, God was there in the delivery room. Wherever you were, wherever you, if your parents wanted you or they didn't want you, if they were, you were a surprise, or if you weren't the right gender that they were hoping for, or it came in you know, turbulent circumstances in your parents' life, no matter what happened, God the Father was in the delivery room for every baby that's ever been born on planet Earth. And now, we don't have the sense of that in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, it's the Father himself who has brought us forth from our mother's womb. And the more that we can think of that, and I just want to encourage you on your birthday, just to celebrate and think, "Oh, Father, you were there, and you've been there every day since. You've carried me all the days of my life." And I think that's just one of the greatest things, that little, you know, every child ever born was welcomed in this world by Almighty God. Another attribute that I think is amazing is principle number 37, little kids are great responders. The older I get, as I've said many times, the simpler life needs to be for me. And I believe the very essence of the Christian life can be summed up in 1 John 4:19, which simply says, "We love him because he first loved us." And little kids have this amazing ability to be great responders. They just respond to love. You know, you initiate love to them, and they have such open hearts and pure hearts that they're just so easily, they have the ability just to respond in kind. And when we start to realize that the Christian life is a dance where God the Father is initiating His love to us by the outpouring of His Spirit in our lives, then we realize that our life is just simply to respond. We're responders. And, you know, when Jesus said to return to that first love, right? You know, we are returning to that place where He first loved us. He continues to first love us. In our life, it just like little kids, is just to learn how we can live a life of response. Principle number 38, little kids know how to receive. And if Christmas was every day, if birthdays were every day, little kids would love that. You know, they have no problem receiving gifts. They receive provision. They receive protection. They receive learning. Little kids are amazing receivers. In Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely as you received, freely give." You see, the kingdom is this. It's just simply learning, like little kids, learning to receive. "Father, I just receive from you. I'm not putting up any kind of barriers of shame and unworthiness, and I didn't deserve it, or I didn't earn it, or I didn't work. All that stuff is just gone, and it's just like we live under an open heaven where our Father is. We're actually receiving from Him. You know, in John 1, 12 and 13, John writes, "As many as received Him," received Jesus, that is, to them were given the power to become children of God. You see, our life is about receiving. I remember, I think it's John 3, John the Baptist said, "A man only has what he's received from heaven." See, oftentimes I think the source of our striving is trying to operate in something that we haven't received, whether that's a ministry gift or an anointing or calling. We try to be like other people, and that just brings us into this place of absolute frustration. But if we are great receivers, and if we know it's the Father's will to fill us up, right? In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that God would just root us and ground us in love, that He would strengthen us in the inner man by the power of His Spirit, so we would have power to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high His love is, and that we would be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. See, God wants to fill you. He wants to give you gifts. He is the one who is initiating. But the problem is, I could, give somebody $1 million, but if they have a problem receiving that gift, then even though the gift has been given, they won't enjoy the benefit of the gift. The Father wants you to receive. Little kids, if you gave them $1 million, if you gave them a chocolate milkshake and a donut, they'd go hooray. They have absolutely no problem receiving, because that is part of the DNA of the kingdom that makes them spectacular. Would you be willing today to say, "Father, I just want to be a good receiver. I just want to come and receive every good and perfect gift that comes from the kingdom"? Principle number 39, little kids are filled with pure joy. Have you ever seen a little child just screech with joy, just absolute delight? You know, we have three grandchildren, and our two oldest ones are 4 and 2 now, our granddaughters. And I'll tell you, when we play, when Grandpa has playtime with his grandbabies, I'll tell you, there's laughter and screeching and all kinds of expressions of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You see, in God's presence is complete over-the-top joy. It's not this sobering, somber, a funeral march. This is a kingdom that is filled with joy. And we know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is righteous, or one of the foundations, of the kingdom are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And joy is a charter member in the kingdom. And little kids, they're not taught how to live in joy. They just respond to it, but then the joy gets beaten out of them, you know, just by the pummeling of life. You know, they get disappointed, they get hurt, they get rejected, they get judged, they get all these things, and all of a sudden, the simplistic joy that you and I had as little kids, all of a sudden goes by the wayside because, you know, we're told that we have to grow up and abandon those things. Principle number 40, little kids are optimists. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." And, you know, there's this saying that either the cup is half empty or it's half full, right? So that's basically, how do we see situations? How do we see life? Do we see when a glass is half filled, do we see it half full or half empty? And it's all about our perspective. And little kids, they just have this beautiful, optimistic approach to life. They just, you know, the Bible says love believes all things. And they just have this beautiful, simplistic optimism. And I believe the Father wants us to begin to embrace that again. You know, if all you have to do is look at the news, and you can be discouraged, you can be disheartened because of all the things that are happening around us. But, you know, when we begin to, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, that we begin to see into the unseen, not the seen, into the eternal, not the temporal, it shifts our focus. It's like putting on the sunglasses, looking into the light of the glory of God's love, where we begin to change and we can have optimism like a child, you know, where they just see the potential for things and not to live in this place of being fearful. Principle number 41, little kids love parties. Luke 15:7 says, "I tell you that even so, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." All you have to do is look up Google, and I think there's thousands of people, depending, it could be 20,000, it might be 50,000 people that come to Christ every day in the world. There's incredible revivals happening in different places in the world. And Luke 15:7 says that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 that don't need to repent. And if there are thousands of people coming to Christ today, what do you think heaven's like? It is one party after another. There's celebration after celebration. Little kids love parties. They love birthday parties. They love Christmas parties. They love dance parties. They just love to celebrate. And if you look at Luke chapter 15, it's a trilogy of three stories. There's the story of the lost sheep. There's a story of a lost coin. And then there's the story of the lost son. Every one of those stories ends with a party. And I just believe that the Father wants you and I to come to a place again where we are able to celebrate, where we are able to enjoy the glorious freedom just to enjoy parties again. We know the story, the last story in Luke chapter 15, it was the story of the younger brother and the older brother. And of course, we understand what the perspective of the older brother, right? He was the one that did everything he was told. He never left home. He was out in the field working when his father came to him after the younger son came home and said, "We're having a party. I've killed the fatted calf. Come on in." And did you remember what that elder brother said to his dad? He said simply, "I have slaved for you all these years, and you've not even given me a goat to celebrate with my friends." Right? See, and the father's response to him was, "Son, you've been with me always. Everything I have is yours." Could you imagine? Like, he could have had a party anytime he wanted to, but he lived as an orphan. He lived with this place where he couldn't celebrate. He couldn't do anything. He was slaving all his life. I believe the Father wants to blow that up in your life. If you feel like you've been a dutiful son or daughter and you're working hard in the kingdom, but you've got nothing, I pray that the Father would give you childlike joy and wonder and permission to have parties again, because God loves parties. Principle 42, little kids are carefree. You know, they don't even have a grid intellectually when they're little to worry. They can't have, you know, about work, finances, family, future, anxiety, stress, health, any of these things. They don't even have the capacity to worry. They're carefree. In 1 Peter 5:6-7, God says to us, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your worries on him, because he cares for you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, and you walked in and you saw your two-year-old in a living room biting their fingernails, worried about where supper's going to come from, what would you say to them? Knock it off. Stop it. Don't worry about it. You know, we've got you covered. If they were thinking about world peace, if they were thinking about how the mortgage is going to be paid, what would you say? Don't worry. Just to be a kid. Enjoy life. Have fun. Be carefree. You see, the Father wants you and I to have that same joy, that same, because what happens is, what does worry do? It distracts us. You know, we read the story of the sower and the seed, where the seed that was thrown on thorny soil, and it says that the worries of this world, the cares of this life distracted it, and it couldn't bear fruit. The Father wants you to be fruitful, and worry distracts us. Worry just saps out our life, and the Father wants us to return to the simplicity of a child where our dad is paying the bills. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to think too hard about it. We can just simply trust him. Sound good? Anybody? Do any of these things sound good to anybody? For me, they do. All of them. I go like, yeah, man, I want that too. Principle number 43, little kids are fearless. Now, when I say they're fearless, what I mean is that there is a time in a child's life where they don't know fear, right? They haven't learned. Now, obviously, there's some things that we need to be afraid of. You know, you don't want to swim in a pool of sharks, right? That's all very good. But little kids, they don't know a stove's hot. They don't know that they shouldn't go outside. There's no fear that's attached to a little child. They learn fear. And there's, you know, obviously there's things that we learn and we need to respect and all that. But what I'm talking about is that beautiful blank canvas where there's no fear. Because it's experience, negative experience, that teaches us fear. And I believe the Father wants us to come back to that simplicity of heart where we're not afraid anymore, that we have a blank canvas of his love and we are able to really enjoy life. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You see, the wicked flee like they're afraid of their own shadows. There's no one even pursuing them and they're running because they are so filled with fear. Where the righteous are as bold as a lion. And little kids have this beautiful ability to live there. And my encouragement to you is that there's a place in God's kingdom where we don't have to be afraid. And, you know, I've shared the story, and, you know, I won't tell the story, but there was a season in my life due to the internet, due to the 1,000 different ways that you know, like people can, you know, your privacy is there's no privacy, and there's all, you know, with the global impact of the things we've had around the world, you know, there was a season where I got afraid. I felt very vulnerable to just being hurt on the internet. And, you know, I was hyperventilating and I was having all these struggles. But when I really had a vision of God as a father, a protective, loving father that was protecting me, it was like fear vanquished. And, you know, I honestly, and that was over, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years ago, I haven't had a problem with fear in that area ever since. And I just believe there's a place in the kingdom where we don't have to be afraid anymore. Principle number 44, little kids are creative geniuses. And I've told the story before of there was this scientist in the 60s who developed a very simple test to measure creativity in adults. And so he developed it for NASA. And then he thought that he wanted to, you know, test the source of creativity. So he gave that, probably, I'm guessing, a simplified version of that same test to, I think it was 1,800 five-year-olds. And he was absolutely gobsmacked with the results that 98% of them were in the creative genius category, according to his test. And then he tested the same group of kids 5 years later, and that percentage of creative genius went from 98% to 35%. He tested them 5 years later, now they're teenagers, and it went down to 12%. And he tested over 200,000 adults over 25 years of age, and the average percentage of creative genius, according to his criteria, was 2%. And his only the only conclusion that he could come to is that little kids aren't, they don't learn creativity, they unlearn it. Because God has given them this incredible, beautiful, sky's the limit. There's no barriers or boundaries on their understanding and their thought processes. But as they get older, they learn to not live from their heart, but they start to live from their head and their intellect, and their processing changes. And then they this incredible creativity is absolutely funneled down into 2% of adults. So I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like it's pretty good. Principle number 45, little kids do what they're told. And now I'm not saying little kids always do what they're told. You know, they're not the model citizens on planet Earth. But what I'm saying here basically is that they have a fundamental understanding that their parents know better than them. You know, because they don't have the intellect, they don't have the experience, they don't have the strength, they don't have the power. And so they, when it says go to bed, you know, eat your supper, it's like there's this fundamental understanding that my parents know better than me. In John 8:29, Jesus said, "He who sent me is with me. The Father hasn't left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." You see, little kids know that their parents know better than them, and so they're happy to simply obey. I believe the more that we know that God loves us and that he is a good father to us, it will just bring us to a very, very beautiful place of simple in heart, and, you know, not trying to manage things, not trying to be independent and self-sufficient, and just trying to live an independent life. So I just want to pray. I that's as far as I can get today, is principle number 45. So we kind of went through 20 more of these kingdom principles. Now, I don't know, when you see that, do any of these things sound attractive to you, that little kids just intuitively live in, and then they unlearn these things as they get older, as they get hurt, as they get rejected, as they get abused? And I just believe the Father is inviting you and I today. He's extending an invitation once again to come and change and become like a little child again. See, life is totally different. When we were little, it wasn't safe to be little, because, you know, parents and adults are big and they're strong and they can hurt us. But I believe there is a place in Almighty God, in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, where we can begin to change again in just the light of being his sons and daughters, knowing that we don't have to be big and protect ourselves and provide for ourselves. We really can be small. We can really come into the place of a beautiful, simplistic, childlike heart and learn to as he reparents us, we can learn to live life as little kids. You know, when Jesus said, "Except you be born again and you born of water and of spirit, you won't see the kingdom." You know, he never ever said to be born again as a baby and then grow up again and become an adult. It's in this place of being a babe in Christ. And as we, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we're not to be children in our thinking, but as far as guile goes or malice goes, we are to be innocent as babies. That there is this, you know, as we grow and mature in the mind of Christ, we're not being childish, but we're being childlike. And then, but there's this beautiful innocence that we continually live with, that we never leave, we never abandon, but we stay there knowing that Almighty God is our dad. So if any of these things have resonated with you, any, you know, even one of these attributes, and you say, "Father, would you, I want to experience joy today. I want to experience just creativity today. I want to experience the ability to sleep in storms." Would you just say, "Yeah, Father, I just help me to change and become like a little child in this area." So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Papa, that you've always been Father. That's who you are. Creator is what you do, but Father is who you are. I pray now in the mighty name of Jesus, our brother, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that, Father, by the power of your Spirit that is even in us right now, that there would just be an awakening to the glory and simplicity of the Christian life as we learn to grow down in all our self-sufficiencies and independence, and so we can grow up in your kingdom as sons and daughters to Yahweh, little boys and little girls with a really big dad. Because the smaller that we can become, Father, the bigger that you will become in our life. So, Father, I pray for grace today. I pray for an awakening in our hearts today. I pray for new eyes to see your kingdom, that we belong to you. We've always belonged to you. You've carried us in your heart before creation, and that we can just take a breath and we can have a sigh of relief and just come into the glory and the splendor of the kingdom that you have prepared for us. As Jesus said, in Luke, he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Father, we just want to receive the kingdom now as little kids do. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.